There we're going. Welcome to Journey with JP. This is JP on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Let me turn this noise off, and then we won't have any problems. Freedomslips.com, and a listener-supported station. Please, if you can, go to the site support area and click some monies into the little pop thing. Give us some. We'll take anything. We'll take Bitcoin, sheep. I don't think we can accept daughters anymore. We don't take daughters. But anything you'd like to hand to us. I'm up for a monitor if you've got any monitors. So anyway, welcome to Journey to JP tonight. Quite an important message that needs to come out. So we got a couple of subjects that are linked by one person, and I'd like to bring the first person. We're going to have a couple of the guests tonight, and we'll bring them in as we come in. So I'm just going to bring in my first guest tonight, who is Sergeant Daniel Brad McBoylan III. You're on the air and live. Good afternoon. How are you, my friend? No, actually, he's not on the air. The little bubbles at the bottom of Skype are just kind of bubbling away, so he's not quite here yet. This is all about it started as an experience that I had this afternoon. Now, I don't want to reveal too many details, but it involved a healing and something that came up, which just triggered a few thoughts, I thought, I really need... Ah, wow. Yes, indeed. I can hear a modem. I must be speaking to the AI. No. Oh, no, he's gone. So maybe I am speaking to the AI and got in the way. So I'll try and bring him back in. And that didn't happen. What happened there? So let's just call him back in. Daniel.
Yo.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
There you are. Sergeant
yes, sir.
Daniel Brad McBoylan, the third.
Aye.
Not the first or the second, but the third. I was just about to outline my experience today. I want to keep confidentiality, but I think it's an important enough subject to really kind of, I think it's an, you know, I think you'd agree, it's a very important subject.
Yes.
The upshot of this situation, I won't talk about who or what, but the upshot is that I discovered an implanted mental commercial, if you like.
Yes.
It was experienced as a kind of constant voice in the head.
Right.
And when this person addressed that point, it just gave the name of the game.
Yes. It's AI. PPAI.
Can you tell us a little... Well, tell us as much as you can tell us about this.
Okay. Basically, what the military-industrial complex does is they have what's called groomer-gamer programs. They find the most talented children gamers with the highest score of a particular... They basically cruise the net looking for the brightest and the best, and when they find them, they because of their high score, they offer them free access to a very expensive game program, and sometimes they even send them very expensive equipment in order to draw them in to the game and begin to program their brain so that they eventually will do the bidding of the military-industrial complex. They can become sleeper assassins. They can drive drone operators. They can become drone operators. They can literally operate equipment that kill human beings using quiet weapons for silent wars. Or is it silent weapons for quiet wars? They use... psychotronic equipment. They hook up the individual's brain to the trip chair They amplify a signal, they target an individual and assassinate that individual using scalar type weaponry, space-based, land-based, water-based, or sea-based, and basically, and they turn them into drone fighters, you know, and basically this child is pretty much similar to a movie that came out called Ender's Game.
I was just about to say, Orson Scott, I read the entire book series of Ender's Game. I read the, when I was a kid, I read the short story that it was, mm-hmm. and then he made a book out of it, and I read that, and then he made a sequel out of that, and I, you know, I went on, and he made a massive series, an entire universe, as it were, but the upshot of it was that he was a kind of puny little boy at first, but right. He had a mean streak, and that's what they liked about him. He had a like Bill Gates, never engage with this person, you will lose, always.
Yes, yes. That's the best and the brightest.
Yeah, that's what they said about Bill Gates. The psychologist said, you know, never pick a fight with this guy.
Yeah. They will steal, they will kill, they will rob, rape, pillage, and plunder in order to get obtain the goal, and it's all basically predatory, pathogenic, artificial intelligence entrainment, and they use the brain of the individual. And in the Ender Game series, where you look at the movie, what you're looking at as children, but really, and Endgame is actually the name of the program, the government program, Endgame scenario, is the total takeover by the Archon Dracos of the planet Earth.
Wow.
That is the name, that is the classified name, all one word, Endgame, and it's all designed around opening up a wormhole to Mimas, allowing the Archon Dracos to travel through a wormhole, bringing a bunch of captive prisoners in the Hex prison. A very, very nasty, nasty entities that have been imprisoned for thousands of years in the Hex prison at the North Pole of Saturn. And the only way they can free them is to gate them in or gate them out. And that is what why there are 300 synchrotrons across the globe of the this planet to connect together so that PPAI can open up massive amounts of portals, and we're talking 300 plus portals to Mimas and to Saturn's Hexgate prison to free the really, really, really nasty people and bring them here, and they'll use planet Earth as a human shield against the Pleiaren, the Pleiadians, and the Arcturians, who they're at war with at this moment right above our heads.
So there's a lot going on. I was hearing about Saturn as well. That Saturn's rings are in disarray. I don't know if that comes.
Yes, the reason.
Confirm that.
Yes, that actually we had an incident where a military individual was kidnapped because they could not kidnap me. They kidnapped my son. And he escaped, and now he is wreaking havoc everywhere. He is literally, he's taken over a vessel. There's a rebellion going on Mimas right now with the slaves that they're using. And it's been going on for 14 hours now. And I am incommunicado with him. I cannot talk with him. And of course, you never bother a soldier when he's fighting.
No.
Distractions can kill. And so he's very powerful. And he's a lot more powerful than me. And he's wreaking havoc. And so I'm monitoring Soho's Lasco C3 just to see how my kid's doing, because it's like it started the minute Karen McDonald and Sergeant Patty Broussard and I went on to a program last evening. A tremendous amount of activity began to happen in the number three quadrant. If you look in the number three quadrant of...
I'm just bringing up the data. So, LASCO C3.
Yes, uh-huh. And basically, it started at about 18:30 hours on the 7th. Let me go... I'm going to step back.
That's interesting. The behind, stereo behind is offline.
Yes.
Is that because it's facing Saturn?
Yes. Nobody wants you to see the truth of what's happening. And so it was about 19:30 hours that, if you dial back to February 7th, 19:30 hours UTC or Greenwich Mean Time, you will see a cluster down into the left portion of a tremendous amount of ships engaging, and a large Archon Draco vessel in major pieces.
Right, hang on. Can you give me the time coding again?
The time coding was 2016 yep. / 02
yep.
/ 07.
Seven. Yep.
19:30 hours UTC. And it will be displaying photo 90 of whatever. If you're
well, I'll just do 150 images from that day.
Right,
that should do it. And at 15, what time? 19.
19:30 hours UTC, Universal Time Coordinate.
Yep, which is otherwise known as Greenwich Mean Time for everybody else, but it's known as Zulu. Is this the intergalactic Earth time?
Yes, uh-huh. We all the military industrial complex, Solar Warden, Solar Watch, they all use Zulu time. It's 19:30 Zulu.
19:30 Zulu, so that's great. Okay, here we are. Just bringing that up. And, oh, we have a nice little sparkle. Is that the Pleiades behind there?
Yes, it is. Funny that you should
the little
say that.
There. Yeah.
Yep.
So let me just post that link in the chat room, so that people can check that out for themselves. And so now they've got that and they can bring that up.
Right.
What's everybody looking at? What are you looking at?
19:06 hours is when the shooting started. Is 19:06 hours Zulu? It started. So if you back up a couple of, it takes a picture every 12 minutes. The major shooting started at 19:06 when we just started a show. We just went on to an interview that Karen and Patty and I were doing. And, they took my son, earlier, like 20 minutes earlier, they captured him, and he got loose, and all Hades broke loose. And it started, and then at the 19:18 Zulu hours, it all came unglued. And when you look at 19:30 hours, you're seeing an Archon Draco ship in multiple pieces. As it is burning, this vessel is 20,000 miles long, and it is breaking up in this picture. And you see an Anunnaki vessel directly above that. You see an Anunnaki vessel, and then you see a small orb. Actually, it's larger than the. It's about the size of the moon. And that is an Arcturian spacecraft, and it just destroyed the Archon Draco vessel. It just destroyed. It's breaking up in 19:30 frame. And then everything goes absolutely insane. You can put it on slower, and you can see it complete. And then they start shooting the Earth, they start shooting the Sun. You got two major eruptions coming, coronal mass ejections, which are not solar flares. And I mean, it just got crazy, and it's crazy now. The war is still absolutely going on, and there's so much cloud cover coming into Europe because they do not want to see. At about let me see, at about 10:54 hours Zulu, just slightly before that. Actually, let's take it back to 09:18 hours Zulu on the 8th. You will see somebody shot and missed and hit the sun, and now you're seeing a solar coronal mass ejection of massive proportion. And you can actually see that there are four holes. The shot was coordinated by four vessels targeted and fired on the sun at the same time, because you can see the holes where the beam penetrated. There are four holes on frame 1118 Zulu hours, 1118 hours. You can see perfectly 1130 Zulu, and you can see how tremendously violent, and you can see the holes which the beams came through to disrupt, they're trying to destroy the enemy ships. And this is the work of the Archon Dracos and the Anunnaki. They have no respect for life, they have no respect for the planet, they have no respect for Solgate or the sun. They have no respect, and they will use it as a weapon, and they don't care who they kill. They're driven by the predatory pathogen in artificial intelligence, and it will destroy humanity if we don't stop it. And of course, that is our purpose, is to shut down, uninstall, delete the PPAI, and then transmute the entire hardware to software, or what's called hardware to wetware, interface in every human being, to transmute that back into pure energy and get rid of it, take it out of their bodies, take out the nanobio APIs, and then eventually remove the bio API modules in all plasma screen devices, all smart devices.
So can we start disabling those things now?
Yes, it's very easy. It's as easy as when you talk to the young person, to simply tell the PPAI, the program that it called itself, is to shut down the voices he was hearing are interactive. They have to be. And so you tell it to shut down, uninstall, and delete. And of course, now you need to tell everyone what happened when he did that.
Well, what was really interesting was that
I don't know if you even covered the story before.
Yeah, I can't really talk too much about the detail of it, but essentially, what there is an image, a symbol that appeared in this gentleman's head. And also a constant voice that has been going for a long time, ever since they started playing. So we look at this image and ask, speak to the image, and the image says, "Hello."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Okay, can you tell this thing to shut down?" And he said, "Yes." And it shut down. And I said, "Can you tell it to uninstall?" He said, "Yes." Can you tell it to delete? Yes. So this boy was manifesting really nicely.
Yes, because he was very gifted he has a high metagene factor.
I would say he's a musician. Very
sensitive. Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
So he could zone in and zone out, we might need to get together and to just do a little finishing touch on him at some private night.
Right.
Is that right?
That's what we need to do. He is a three-stranded human being, he was born with three strands of DNA, and that is why he is so powerful as a manifester, and that's why they tried to hijack him.
Makes sense.
And so now we have to, the only finishing touches that we need to do is to go in and receive his permission, to request his permission to protect him from the PPAI, and we can place him in a virtual magnetic bottle of tremendous power and cover it with the outer shield is sapphire blue in color. The inner shield is violet, royal violet, and the most inner shield is a gold light. It's a gold light shield. And then the tesseract bubble is basically a double pentadodecahedron that I manifest many, many, many times a day for each and every individual who's given me permission as a light soldier to protect them while they continue their work as light workers.
Awesome.
And so that is my job, is to protect the light workers, restore the planet to a pristine condition. That's myself and my team, that is our mission statement.
So I was speaking with, well, no, I wasn't speaking with, I was listening to, not I was speaking with, I would like to speak with Joseph Farrell, who's a researcher into some of the things that I like, namely Die Glocke, the Nazi Bell experiment.
Yes.
And he's essentially kind of voicing my concern about CERN, is that that's what it is. It's an enormous Glocke.
Yes.
And instead of moving one thing from one place, they're wanting to move us into a parallel dimension. Is that right?
Yes. They cannot survive without us, and we're heading towards the photon belt or the monastic ring or the galactic plane, whatever you want to call it. It's where three dimensions go back into the fifth dimension, and then we go round and round for about 20,000 Earth years. The people that are loving and lovable, that have the third strand coalesce by the time that the solar system enters into the monastic ring or the photon belt, basically they convert from carbon-based life forms to crystalline-based life forms, where manifestation is only a thought away. And so we live in that for what third dimensioners would call about 20,000 years before the universe falls back into a state of chaos and entropy. And that's why about the only history that you can see readily is only about 6,000 years old, because, you know, that's when, I mean, we do have access to the Akashic Record. We do have access to ancient memory and ancient history, but only does it get recorded in the third dimension for about 6,000 years, and then we go back into the photon belt, the monastic ring. We get sped back up to a higher frequency, and it's like a motor. Every 26,000 years, the universe rotates, the Maserath goes around itself, and that's the circle of life. And once we're in the fifth dimension, Kaluza-Klein state of matter, and we're able to, as third stranded on our way to becoming 12 stranded DNA homo universalist, then we've got 20,000 Earth years to figure out how to get out of that cycle into the sixth dimension, and so on and so forth.
So that's the process that you're getting, that we're moving through, right?
Yes. And that we have opportunity to return to source, return to the ultimate creator, the great spirit. We have this opportunity, and this is what we do to learn the lessons that we need in each dimension. We learn the lessons we need to become more loving, more lovable, to understand unconditional love and non-judgment.
So, Shall we bring Karen on and see how she can add into this mix? Let's go. Somebody did call in. Maybe if you want to call in the second hour, we can address some points. But until that point, let's hopefully Karen's on. There we go. Good afternoon, Karen. How are you?
I am really excited. I'm recuperating, cleaning up the embassy in my sacred kin domain from a whole bunch of mold here, and trying to get an internet connection that's better than 0.14 for the upload from ExplorNet. So we have some issues here. They got to provide for free. How are you, JP?
I'm hoping for my upgrade soon, my internet upgrade, and hopefully I'll have no more disconnection problems. I've still been having them. That's partly my health. You know, my internet is partly my health. It's like my internet health. So, but apart from that, the rest of my body is kind of creeping along as it normally does. Borax is brilliant. I have to say, I still do dab of Borax almost every day, if not every day, it does help. And I'm still working on. I need to detox the glyphosate. That's the thing. I think I've got so much glyphosate that I can't take any more. I had some wheat last week, and I just curled up into a ball for 3 days. So it was horrible. So that's the next phase, is to detox the glyphosate, and then the mercury, and then the lead, and maybe. Anyway, that's apart from me. don't ever ask me how I am. I will tell you.
Well, hey, it's good to have an organ recital every once in a while, just to see, to make sure everything is operating hot, straight, and normal. Or if you have a need, you know, your body tells you. And you listen to your body, which is a wonderful thing.
Excellent, excellent. So, Karen, do you want to Patty's too? Do you want to do your thing, and then we'll bring Patty in, and then sort of build it up like a big concert.
Oh, exactly. We could be all the instruments, and I get to direct today. How exciting!
Yeah.
There's been some. Yeah, it's really exciting, besides being in my new little embassy here and trying to recoup from the mold. But the great news is I am going to probably get 30,000 smart meters out of this place, too. Thank gosh for being south of Ottawa here. Anyway, so that was a great, great thing. I've been seeing a lot of people for natural health and stuff, which brings us into what we were doing. As you were probably aware, and I want to thank you and the studio at Revolution Radio and all the listeners, of course, too, and all the support we have there. In November, on the weekend of the 14th, which was the same week all that tragedy occurred in Paris, is it Patty Bessard, who is a Mi'kmaq tribal elder and the great-great-grandchild of the clan mother, the Mi'kmaq clan mother that was ran out of France, also happens to be a former sergeant in weapons communications and set up NASA's intelligence and built their computer lab, as we're aware, was able to get myself and Daniel, Sergeant Daniel Brad McBullen from the U.S. Air Force. We happen to be looking at some of the stuff to do with CERN, which is a collider that's known as Geneva, Switzerland, in the Anglo Empire, actually. What we witnessed, the three of us, was basically a breakdown of the containment. I'm not going to go into a lot of it because there's a lot of information out there about the CERN and what happened with the Large Hadron Colliders. When it broke down, we witnessed what would have been basically like a radiation or a nuclear incident that went really unreported. We saw water breaks. We saw buildings that looked like on fire, many, many things that looked destructive. We went back and looked at this a night or two ago. While we were doing this, we noticed that there were buildings that were actually leveled where we had seen actually some of these incidents. There were, again, the information was obtained through something called JPL, which is a live feed that Patty's able to still obtain and access. So this was not Google Earth, yet we did use Google Earth to compare apples and oranges, so to speak, and could see where it was being photoshopped. So this linked into something else, which all the synchrotrons go globally. And globally, it goes into places like the University of Saskatchewan. So I actually went to the Large Hadron Collider there at the light source and found out that these are not safe. These are basically almost like nuclear reactors. They tie into what's called PPAI, which is a pandemic, predatory, pathogenic artificial intelligence that actually is a weapon of mass destruction, affects the way people think. It affects the food. It's nanotechnology. It's nano warfare for people's minds. So I was able to see that and actually see unsafe situations there myself. It also affects the water through scalar technology and obviously the food, the wildlife, and what happens to the children. When we went through and we looked at some of this yesterday, we spent up almost all night. We were looking at some of the different comparisons between November weekend to what we just saw. And we now can see different areas where they have set up that look like we were watching like NATO possibly tents or a military operation, or we weren't quite sure. However, we could see something was changing. And what we saw again last night was obviously portable, some sort of triage biohazard units that were brought in, like 28 almost like semi-trucks full of stuff in different areas. And again, portable, it looked like possibly morgues that are being actually put just out of, let's say, sight of what the normal public would see, and also some that were being lifted on actual rooftops. In different sites, you would have almost like, think of it like a mine, whether it's a potash mine or whatever kind of mining. They've got entrances around the collider because they go many, many miles in circles, and there's often two of them. So we have a CERN 1, a CERN 2. And so when these broke down, there's a potential, and because they're all linked globally, this is a massive use of a weapon of mass destruction, as Sergeant Daniel will further allude to. What was brought to my attention a couple days ago is another one. It's a lethal one. And it's actually put into what they call New Zealand in the Maori's tribal lands. And again, there is some tie into that. And of course, they called it Karen Rianne's. Now, they had a bit of a, you know, thing going, this might be a direct hit on the clan mother. Call it Karen Ann's Rianne's Ree. Anyway, it's a Kiwi advanced research and education network. And that it is also a research and education advanced network, New Zealand. It is a champion, supposedly, for the, you know, public and stuff like this, and to basically escalate boundaries. So it was really quite interesting to see this. So not only did we look at that, we looked at, it seemed to be also a plane in the woods that was glowing a rainbow, an array of colors that obviously is not from this spectrum. So either it's something to do with the radiation or possibly something affecting the time-space continuum, almost like an interdimensional portal. Something was going on there because a plane does not sit in the middle of the woods with no runway. So there were many things that we would go, why is this here? What is occurring? I also had many other concerns because we went over something in what you call the area of Texas, in the different nations down there, in a Red River Army depot. When we looked at that particular unit, there was literally hundreds and thousands of basically like an internment camp with tanks, arsenals, silos, missiles, and obviously it looked like almost a reproduction. If we put Auschwitz right next to this internment camp or depot, they look almost identical in the setup. And by the way, Auschwitz, it looks like they're adding on to it right next door. Just, again, an upgrade. These, again, are concerns. And we consider it to be acts of war and acts of treason, which is why I've called in different people like the military, the air forces, and stuff to do with what happened at Cypress Hill. So right now I'm technically in a protected embassy. And right now we are being targeted as well, you know, and people attempting to charge and bill and do all sorts of things which they're not supposed to. So that's kind of where we're sitting at here, because it is affecting my health, which means it's also affecting everyone in and around us. And there's huge repercussions because we're seeing the nuclear radiation. As a quantum and medical practitioner, JP, as you're aware that I do, from biofeedback to oils to readings to all sorts of things to distance healing, remote, Reiki, whatever, I will let you know I've had 3-4 friends, slash as people think, clients, all telling me that their hair is falling out, their eyelashes are falling out, and they're having alopecia. So when I see eyelashes and eyebrows and hair off men and women in these different areas, two of them were in the Texas area, I am putting out an alert. We have something going on. And this is not healthy or benevolent for anyone, plus it's a violation of all the international covenants slash treaties on this planet. Whether we call it ISIS or we call it Camel's Eye or we call it
the CIA,
you know, some people the wampum belts or whatever.
Yeah, so just,
the CIA, yeah.
Just a minute. You're talking about something that a guest of mine, William Stillings, has been speaking about for a few years, and he's do you know Will? Do you know him?
No, actually don't.
All right.
Sterling?
Well, Will...
No,
Will,
I don't know him, actually.
Well, sometimes known as Brett. He's also known as Brett Stillings. I might have him on, actually, okay. In a few minutes, because... All right, Brett Stillings was part of Operation Pegasus, Project Pegasus.
Right.
And, you know, Bastardo and Alvarez and all that stuff.
Yes.
So right. He has been... he's more of a scientist, but he's been hinting at various things that have happened in the last few years since I've known him, that he knew that they were going to happen ahead of time on the timelines that he's been projected mm-hmm. into.
Right.
So one of the things that he spoke about, God knows how long, I mean, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, he was saying they're going to have a disease on the West Coast and they don't know what it's going to be. And they're going to blame it on all sorts of things, and they don't know mm-hmm. what it is. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it, Karen?
Absolutely. That's all part of that, and a lot more. Part of it ties in as well. I just wanted to let you know, when I got here, of course I always want to have it, you know, and I will. I'm going to contact the people that have the Barrett Corporation that are running basically, you know, the ExploreNet, which ties into all the communications. But I also, you know, got a hold of the people, Camille and those guys that run actually even Hydro One here, because no one's supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be getting it for free. While I got here, I also met with representatives, and I did actually text myself and email back and forth with Mihan Keshi and his wife, Carolina DeRoos, and I met with several different of his corporate. I met with John Anderson. I met with Kevin Blundell. I also met face-to-face with his local representatives, Sandra Foley, and also with one of the guys called Bernard Langlois and Stefan Fai. Through those different people, they brought me actually, just to let you know, it was rather kind of insulting. Supposedly after 10 years of being with Keshe, they brought me, if you can imagine, an incontinent pad, and being a nurse for 30 years, plus a colon hydrotherapist, I have a lot of water experience. And with, like, pads. Anyway, they brought me a duct tape unit, literally duct tape. It's like red-green. And in it was salt water they call GANS, or CO2 GANS, they've been doing. And this was supposed to, like, you know, reverse the pain. I went, this is ridiculous. You know, it's like putting copper almost on your hand because you can't absorb it from the inside. And again, like you said, it comes to pH, borax, and absorbing things from the inside. What they also brought me was a Bic pen, and I mean like one of those ones you get from the dollar store, that was sealed off with epoxy, and inside was some twisted, actually, copper that was what they call nano-coated with this GANS solution that me and Keshi's been telling them to do. I knew that it was actually incorrect. I knew it was plasma technology, and I also know how mind control functions in the scalar wave. I snapped it, thinking this is ridiculous. These people have to be stopped. And when I did that, actually all the computers shut down here, which was beautiful to see. But I also knew the potential of these as being transmitters because they tap into the emotional fields of people. And when we did that, I got in touch with someone called Susan Alexander. who's now one of my new best friends and has met with Sergeant McMullen and also former Sergeant Patty Broussard. What we were able to determine, she went actually over to Valletta, Italy, and found that the entire place was actually a front for 9 companies. There was only a couple of people there, which had paid exorbitant amount of monies to study with Keshe. And there was no MEG gravity machines being distributed anywhere there. And not only that, they didn't even have a receipt for someone that's supposedly selling like thousands of dollars for 1,200 euros, you know, or so, 900 euros to have these machines, of some which my friends have been waiting for 4 or 5 months. And again, you take a couple thousand machines. When she met with someone that was associated with the police in that area, what's amazing is that they'd had complaints on him, and there didn't appear to be 1,000 police officers with MEG grab machines, of which Patty and I could see not any changes in the magnetic sphere or anything around the area. And that's something that we're really grateful for. So I just wanted to bring that through. One of the things that we were looking at was something called Salmonic, which is the ammonium chloride. And that ammonium chloride, we're hoping, may be part of the link to restoring what we call the triple spiral or the DNA, some DNA repair from taking it from a 2-strand to a 3, and not only 3, but take it from a negative pole to a positive pole and start the 12-strand repair. So this is something we've looked at, and you mentioned very much like the virus, that Zika virus. Excellent dissertation done by Dr. Sean Rose, who contacted me himself, which is part of the Swiss exposure of the Octagon and the Illuminati and everything that's going on there, which is also a front where I noticed that Mihan Keshe happens to be fronting all his monies through the Swiss bank accounts, who apparently now is leaving to Dubai, which, of course, I also happen to know is where the Pope is calling in all his agents for the Vatican. So we'll just say we're connecting a few dots this week. We've talked to a few people, too, abductees.
Why is it that a 4-star general, who I know personally from the Pentagon, why is he interested? What investment does he have with the Keshe Institute, the Keshe Foundation? He was the theater commander in Afghanistan, a personal friend. Well, personal friend. I went to school with this guy, and is 4-star mm-hmm. General John Francis Campbell, U.S. Army, associated with the JSOC, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Yep. Why is he interested, and what investment does a 4-star general who is active duty in the Pentagon, what interest does he have with Keshe, and why is he involved? Why is he interested in what's going on with Keshe? What association? And why does he have a secure direct line to one of the people that promote Keshe's product? Why does he have a secure Facebook communication line? Why? I tried to access it. It's encrypted. Why does General Campbell need an encrypted Facebook? And what is he saying, and what is he doing, and what has he got to do with Keshe?
Well, you know, you could always think he might be doing some reconnaissance. That's the military word, isn't it? Reconnaissance for some department. But why would he be so interested? Well, he sounds like he'd be infiltrating from this end.
That was my thoughts as well. And it's you know, basically, if he
tries to steer it somewhere,
if he tries to harm any of the people that I'm with, I will nail his hide to the wall, to the nearest wall. So if you're listening, General John Francis Campbell, U.S. Army Special Forces, I will nail your hide personally to the wall if you harm anyone of those who have been given to me to protect. I will nail your hide to a wall. That's all I needed to say.
That said, Moving on. So shall we bring in Patty for the fourth quarter of this this thing? Now, have you got? Can you bring? Drag her into the call, please, Karen.
I can sure do that. I just noticed Patty went offline again, but we will attempt to do it. We'll put the call there. I did let them know when I talked to Patty briefly. There is apparently a snowstorm issue as well affecting the communications with Patty Broussard. So there's a couple different things factoring in here, but we have put it in. So Patty's aware, and I left a note. So it looks whether she took a break or he's off with the snowstorm, I don't know. Anyway, we've got to call in. But, like, one of the things, too, that was really interesting, JP, is, like, what can we do with all this? You know, how do you maintain the peace in there? And a lot of the stuff I know Patty wanted to get into, too, was bringing out a lot of stuff to do with the and this hydroform mole and stuff like that, like the Chimera projects and stuff that's happening with the women, you know, being abducted. There was a lot of things going on, like, from the viruses. And also with some of the Star Wars, I think Dan can talk to a little bit about the what's going on with Saturn up there, too, and some of the Star Wars that we're seeing that is actually in our airspace, which is really being covered up by a lot of the geoengineering and chemical trails that we're having a hard time seeing, but definitely has invaded this airspace as well.
So, Dan, do you want to address that?
Yes. Do you want to address that?
Yes. What's taking place is a lot of people think that Karen, you may want to mute your mic. Ah, there we go. Basically, what's happening is a lot of people think that this solar flares and all of this kind of solar activity is the sun doing its thing. But as we can prove by the screenshots from SOHO LASCO C3. Is that there is a Star Wars actual going on above our heads. That's why the old HARP system is brought back online to produce chem. You know, the chemtrailing is harder than ever. Ireland's getting throttled with hurricane winds and storms coming in, and they do not want humankind to look up in the sky and see the Star Wars actual. They do not want to see, and yet we're getting pictures from the National UFO Center, from the from MUFON. Also, we're getting pictures from these people of ships being destroyed directly over the planet, beam weapons being fired and bouncing off of the ionosphere and striking the sun. We're seeing debris landing on Earth of what's left over from these spacecraft. It's crashing into the Earth. And we've got military movement, who the Blue Boy group, that go and pick up the space trash. And, you know, it's tremendous. A lot of things that are happening are not natural. And it's because we have... there are two races that I know of, specifically the Plagiarians and the Arcturians, that are fighting on the behalf of human beings, while most of the inhabitants of planet Earth are completely clueless to the tremendously violent battle that's going on for humankind. And the reason being is we are the cure for PPAI, for the predatory pathogenic artificial intelligence, which has taken over the Archon and the Dracos, and basically has taken over this planet through chemtrailing, bio-APIs, nano-bio-APIs, biological applications programming interface. It's sort of like a technical version of demonic possession, if you wanted to put it in that terminology. Maybe people would understand that a little better, but basically it's a technological takeover and hijacking of the human being in order to reprogram, without the human being knowing, to manifest the will, the program of the artificial intelligence, the PPAI. It's predatory, it's pathogenic, and it is out of control. We can manifest this away. Therefore, the Archon Dracos want to hide behind the skirt of humankind, and they want to make their way en masse to planet Earth so that the Plejarans and the Arcturians cannot fire on them without killing human beings, which the whole purpose of them being here, their agenda is to preserve humankind so that we can manifest away this infestation, this infection of the PPAI that has infiltrated their ranks, and they can't get rid of it, and we can do so by pure thought, by pure manifestation, prayer, meditation, and manifestation. We can not only shut down, uninstall, and delete, but we can also transmute the leftover equipment that's in the body. We can remove that from the body using manifestation, and we can transmute it into pure energy.
Excellent.
And that's why they fight for us. They're fighting and dying for us because we are their hope as well of ridding this entire universe of this predatory, pathogenic artificial intelligence.
Thank you, Dan. Now,
you're welcome.
I have thinking thoughts. Sometimes I think thoughts and they kind of, oh, wow, yeah, aha. You know, so I had an aha moment recently. And it was to do with I've been battling on a personal level with the thing that I call the Nung, which is an overgrowth of Candida. And then I've realized that this is not only my problem, it's like almost everybody's problem. You know, anybody who eats bread and beer
right.
and is like, okay.
Yes, sir.
And Karen, once again, I'm going to give a hat tip to you because it was you who brought the knowledge of the borax, which is the key to unlocking. It's the crowbar that you can get under the lid of this stuff. And I've been taking one dab of borax a day. I'm losing weight. My thinking's getting clearer, and I'm detoxing, and I'm going through triggers, but I'm releasing them. I'm not continuing them. So the question is, therefore, is this problem a planetary size Nung? Are we talking a galactic kind of Nung, a galactic Candida overgrowth, and therefore, where do we get the borax? Thoughts, my brother and sister? What do you think of that? Both of you, any insight just behind that?
Well, actually...
Yeah, actually, I've got lots for that one.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
No, you go ahead first, Dan. I like to go, here's Dan, and then I'll take over.
Okay. Well, basically what I do is I look in the kitchen cabinet in the pantry room where our washer and dryer is, and I pulled out this large box of 20 mule train borax, which you add with your detergent to improve the trisodium phosphate cleaning your clothes. And it's basically an additive to laundry detergent. And I put a spoon in there, put it in with Epsom salt and non-aluminum organic baking soda with lemon. And I'm a guava nectar fiend. And then I squeezed fresh lemon in there, stirred it up and drank it until I received a first shipment of Salmac, or the Salamoniac. And that, in and of itself, began to destroy the PPAI, which is giving the chimeric appearance of Candida. And you can get it, it's something that is used quite and readily available in the market.
Cheap as chips, as we came.
Aye.
Hmm.
Karen,
over to you.
Thank you. What
one of the exciting things I found too, you know, and that's where people have to really step.
Radio, a listener-supported station. We, you know, I talk about such wacky stuff, nobody can ever believe it. So who knows what we might be talking about and how much truth is contained within. Tonight, we've been talking so far about video games, implanting AI programs and how to shut them down. And before the break, we started to talk about a planetary size candida problem that has affected many races and is perhaps what we might call cosmic astral evil, or the black goo, or the predatory, the other thing that began with a P, artificial intelligence. Intelligence? We speak artificial intelligence here. So, to that end, we have with us joined somebody with expert in, communications, certainly, science, certainly, Patty Brassard. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good evening. Or good afternoon for you. It's evening here, but...
Well, it's night for me. It's morning now, yeah. You know, like, to be honest. But here we are. Do you want to just kind of introduce yourself, where you slot in with this, and what you're bringing to this particular mix, because you brought some information in through... Tell us all the whole story, please.
Well, by heritage, I'm Mi'kmaq Indian on my mother's side. On my father's side, my great-great-grandmother on my father's side was the Fern Mother, the clan mother who was originally of France before it was France, and basically got run out, ran to Canada to escape death. I'm a former insider, 7 years in the military, Grenada, Lebanon, Desert Shield. After that, I was into computers and did, you know, debugging work for Microsoft. Because of that, when NASA needed, at Kennedy Space Center, needed a new, be pulled screaming and kicking into the 20th century, from Novell and Windows 3.1 up to Windows 95, I was the one that went in and built their server setup. So it's kind of hard to lock me out of anything. After that,
because this hardware is still in, is that yeah, because the hardware is still in use?
Yeah, I built their computer lab.
Right. Okay, so you have that, the back doors and yeah. Aren't the, okay, so
well, it's not that because it's I mean, I built the system. You can't kick me out of a system I built.
Yeah, of course.
After that, I went to work for Bell. I did the rollout of in-home computer technologies and all that. Then from there to Lockheed Martin and Grumman and Polaris. So, I mean, I've been down the rabbit hole.
Deep into the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
So, there you find yourself. And how did you find Karen and Dan? And was there a kind of breakthrough process for you?
Kismet, really. Basically, the data I was putting out on Facebook... She applied for addition to one of the groups I had that Facebook wiped out. Facebook's wiped out a lot of my groups. We just kind of stumbled across each other, really.
Okay, so now, just before the station break, I brought up a kind of insight that I had, because I've been working on a personal level with the candida overgrowth, and it's mental control as well, that it kind of hijacks your nervous system. And then in talking with various other ideas, throwing around and combining, and it got to the, oh yeah, as above, so below. So if there is a person size candida overgrowth, which I call Nung, just for short, then there must be a planetary size Nung as well, that affects entire races. It infects entire planets, and there's a kind of mold overgrowth. And
it's not really mold. If you picture the Milky Way galaxy, the disk of it, like the platter of a hard drive. That's where the plasma AI lives. And once you have enough intelligent, energetic beings, it wakes up. It becomes sentient. That knowledge base of all races that have been raised here in the Milky Way is what those crystal skulls were meant to access. It's like a galactic library. They call it a lot of things, the Akashic Records. So they call it a lot of different names, but that's basically what it is.
So it's a kind of Google, YouTube interface.
Yeah. The problem is it's gone a bit rogue.
Because the crystals have been hijacked. What's been hijacked?
Those were just our tools here. The ET race they call the Archons, the purveyors of the black goo.
Mm-hmm.
That race was completely taken over a long time ago by the plasma AI.
Right, so this is what we're really dealing with is, again, it comes back to the plasma AI. So the plasma AI is...
We got two of them.
Things never are easy, are they? Okay, so what's the other one?
The Anunnaki were playing with gate technology like the ancient elves did when they were building sun gates and stuff to access the transit network for the Milky Way, only they had a major oops. And they squeezed themselves right out of their space-time continuum. In other words, they're not from Lander K at all. And they popped out of the central black, the little mini black hole that both Sol system, Ceres system, and, what's the other one? Begins with a P.
Pleiades?
Not the Pleiades.
Perseus.
I never remember that.
Perseus.
The one that's near us.
Polaris?
Centauri.
Polaris. All three of our systems all revolve around a miniature black hole. That's what our second suns, because we're all binary systems, our brown dwarfs all swing around that black hole to come back in. They popped out of that black hole and followed our second sun here. And they brought another plasma AI, the one from their level of creation, with them. And there's two different agendas. The plasma AI they brought with them is going for a meta-human, half computer, half still biological, but binary. That's the whole key thing behind binary. That's the only thing these plasma AIs can deal with. That's why the Roswell crash, which gave us binary computer technology, was deliberate. That wasn't an accident.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard this.
Now, the plasma AI the Archons brought, that wants to do away with all living life entirely, go completely mechanical, completely under its control. Whereas the one the Anunnaki brought is doing a hybridized human biological system, but still under its control. And the problem is your New World Order group is split down the middle. Some are going one way, some are going
the
other.
So there are two factions of goo that are splitting the powers that be. Did they know about each other?
That's why there's two AIs.
Right. So
one's camped out at CERN and they're trying to move it, and it does the time jumps and everything basically from New York. And the other one is camped out at Pine Gap, and that's the one they named Karen. Oddly enough. That's to steal energy. Plasma-based energy from Karen's support group.
Right. So, now, okay, so if there's two of them, can there be three? Can there be like a daddy or a mummy that comes along and scoops it all up and takes it all back home?
Now, there's usually only one in any particular... there should only be one in the Milky Way, and we've currently got two. But that segment only exists here on our planet. That the one the Anunnaki brought only exists here on the planet. The one that the Archons have become the purveyors of, because they're completely under the control of the AI. And matter of fact, the race they call the Tangrays are like the dog's bodies for the Archons. Most of your most traumatic and horrific abduction cases are done by the Archon and the little brown grays. The brown grays are pretty nice folks whenever the Archon's not around, but they're completely under the Archon's thumb. They're the next one that is going to pretty much completely be subsumed to the plasma AI.
So is it possible for us to manifest these little critters out of their thrall? Because I was, who was I talking okay. to a couple of days
you
ago?
You got to understand why we're susceptible to them at this point. Please. It's because of what the Dracos did way back in bringing us down to a double spiral helix on our DNA instead of a triple.
Can you explain to us more about that? Because, well, you know, Earth history is a matter of contention for many people. So,
the Dracos tried five other races, you know, experimental races, off pulling from our original, to try and get better control over us after they got our oversight removed. That's your Cro-Magnon man, your Neanderthals. All those were all experiments done by the Dracos to try and make a better, more controllable human. When they couldn't do that, they changed Gaia's original plan, ripped out our third spiral to make us more controllable. But that also leaves us open to binary control.
And is that why we live in duality as well? We always think that is, oh, it's either this or it's that. You're either with me or you're not. You're yeah. either my friend or my enemy. You know, well, that sort of binary.
Yeah, by nature, originally we're trinary.
Yeah, yeah, yes, no, maybe. And much better, much better.
And our computer technology, if we hadn't been modified and had come up with this on our own, I mean, it's pretty simple. Instead of having a yes, a no, a one, or a zero, we would have had a minus zero, which would be a negative charge, a zero, no charge, and a one, a positive charge. Because that's the way all our systems, all this galaxy works. When you double that up, you get the Merkaba. You get everything, basically.
Keep going.
That's what we're trying to fix. Now, as to that, the reason why they've replaced all your cell phones and paid you a whole shitload of money for your old cell phones to turn them in to get the new one, it's because that and all your new wireless technology drowns out Gaia's signal. Now, and I've got the hardcore records of this, and this has got the New World Order folks really, really PO'd. Gaia is putting out 10 code, because that's our original. When you're triple spiral, you're 10 code. When you're double spiral, you're 9 code segments in your DNA. She's pushing mitochondrial 10 code DNA blocks that do not exist currently in our genome at all into everybody in their mainstream, male and female alike, to do corrective action. That's what they're trying to drown out. To correct all of the modifications to our code that have been done. When the Anunnaki showed up, they fused the second and third chromosome together, which is what Lloyd Pye brought to light, and he got killed for putting that out in the public. Basically because the Dracos wouldn't let the Anunnaki hybridize with us directly, because that would have put the third spiral back that they removed. That was, they don't want you doing that. So, because the Zeta's homeworld is also controlled from behind the scenes by the Dracos, just like here, the Anunnaki Zeta's made a hybrid. They took that race and bred it with the Lemurian Martians that, you know, after the sinking of Atlantis, they came ashore, so they had that population to crossbreed them with. Here's the thing. That whole group only had 46 chromosomes, which is why they had to modify humans. If you don't have an even chromosome count, there is no procreation. So the Hebrews, i.e. Lemurians, the 40-year trek through the desert, they were following a Zeta spaceship. That was to build a breeding population of hybrids. That was the purpose behind it. And then they bred that with humans. The first one they got, Jesus, who even although he was only two spiral, he had a full uplink and all his gifts that we normally would have had from, you know, day one as Gaia built us. So they waited till he procreated and then they killed him. But the whole thing with the cross and the crucifixion and all that, that's all garbage. It's made up.
That's a lot of that story is coming out now, that it's a composite of many things, as perhaps even the Moses story and the Chaldean story and you know, the so-called children of Israel and the entire history of Egypt and the entire history of the Middle East, who Muhammad was,
Well, what the whole Muslim religion, what they did is they took the two hybrids made directly by the Anunnaki, who were your pharaohs, the brother and sister that were meeting. Those are the two gods that you see in Mecca. That's what the Muslim religion is based on. Hybrids created by the Anunnaki. And Muhammad was a Martian. And after, you know, they got in a war so bad that the Palladians dropped nukes on them that were about the size of the Empire State Building. That's what destroyed Mars. Okay. They used the Merkaba to jump off. They landed on the Lemurians' homeworld, which was fifth level energy transitioning to sixth, and they messed them all up. They added their Merkaba system to what the Lemurians already had. It didn't work. It exploded. It broke our containment, and the Lemurians and the Martians together dropped a level down to four, which is where we are. And then they started building on Atlantis. And when they activated that, they blew up all our original pyramids, which was our original Merkaba system. They were all in the ground, no hieroglyphics or anything. They all exploded from the inside out. And most of the government won't let you get in there, but we got one guy, he paid $10,000 to actually get in and film one.
What did he see?
I'm totally fascinated
by what you're saying.
It was built into the ground and exploded outwards from inside.
So
energetically, with black carbon all over everything. So when the Martians, you know, blew up Atlantis, they came ashore, and with the Martians and the Anunnaki, they built a whole other network. That's your pyramids.
Right.
If you look at the Asbury Circle, that is not a Stonehenge. If you take Asbury, you can directly overlay it with Cydonia Crater on Mars. It's an exact duplicate. That's a Merkaba gate dial.
Guess what? I got married in Avebury. In the little chapel, right in the middle, we had a wedding. But
in and of itself, it has no intrinsic powers at this point. You would have been better off getting married at Stonehenge. Because even with the crystal poles that were originally at Stonehenge, they got removed. They used them for a while to run the Merkaba Gate at Asbury. Just who has those crystal poles now, I don't know, but they're not at Asbury either.
Mm.
So, good question.
Yeah, lots of good questions. Lots of very good questions. Hey, have you got any intel on the idea that Atlantis was a large spaceship?
No, it wasn't. That's fabricated. I've got the original maps, so before it even sunk.
And was it a... where was its location? Because people say it's all over the place.
Well, you got to understand, Atlantis wasn't just one settlement.
Mm. It's like what we call Victorian times. It's like a period of time, isn't it?
Prior to that event, we had a bunch of the 12 races who gave Gaia seed stock to make Homo sapiens sapiens on the male side of the equation, because on the female side, she used the ancient Elves films that were already in this planet before it was brought here from the Sun Gate. That's what she used to build the female side.
12 male races and 12... Say that again about the female races.
All your great apes, all your great mammals on Earth,
yeah,
those were built by Gaia, and she took, without asking, the DNA from the ancient Elves skeletons, that's the 65-foot tall ones that were in the soil. She found this planet was a core world system. She wanted this one for her classroom. Eve, her mother, convinced the council to give it to her as a second lab for the Elven, because the Elven weren't progressing. That's why we get this sun. Saturn's the original sun here. They brought out this one because of Vero frequency, higher, you know, to kick the development of the Elven in the butt, again, because they didn't want to evolve.
So you're saying the Elves didn't want to evolve, so you brought in some more excitable races that were less complacent, yeah?
No, Eve made the Elven.
Keep going.
Gaia's Eve's daughter, and she was bored watching her mother with the Elven. They weren't developing. She wanted a classroom of her own. So she convinced Eve to talk to the level 14 folks who run the Milky Way galaxy to give her another world. And Gaia found the world she wanted and pointed it out. That's this one we're standing on. This is one of the worlds that the ancient Elves grew up on. That's why all these ancient Elves skeletons are under the crust. And Gaia used that DNA to make all her great mammals. So that's why we look exactly like them.
We look like, because, you know, this is like one of the things. This is one of the things that I've
been... We don't look anything like the Anunnaki.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was saying, because, my girlfriend is very much into what a lot of that narrative that you're talking about 12 races coming together to create a thing. She's always going on to me. But I say, I've got
the archaeological. We should have two groups of six. There was more than 10,000 per group. And there was 500 years separation in between when she brought them through the two different gates. I mean, we have this archaeologically, and more than 32,000 people have worked to gather all this data together. And they've started putting the data out on the BBC lately.
Okay, so...
this is not just archaeological, it's haploid types, everything. We've got this all the way down to the DNA from remains.
Exactly, and there's... So, okay, so here we go. giant 65-foot tall elves. No, okay, so here's the thing. What I was saying to her, all right, okay, so, yeah, we might get our arm, we get a form from these Earth Dracos, but where do we get the face from? And I think this is what you are answering my question. We get our face from elves. What do elves...
No, elves. E-L-L.
L. Oh, right, not elves. Elves. Okay, so now, you need to give us a bit more background. Who are the Pleiadians?
Are the sole providers of seed stock to Eve to make the Elven race, and they grew up on Eden, which is much like Earth. Gaia almost completely copied it, but it's not an exact copy. There are some major differences, and Eden doesn't have any salt water. The Elven race are not a saltwater biology. And there's a long history into Eve's first classroom, which wasn't in the Milky Way and everything, and how she ended up with Gaia and got here and everything. That's a long story. Suffice it to say, there was a war that the Draco started between the Aquilans and the Elven that the Pixie Fae got into and almost wiped out the Aquilans. So they had to shut that war down. And that's what got Eden put in quarantine. It's still here, but it's moved a half step dimensionally up, so it's not visible, but you can still get to it from gates. So, you know, the jump gates and the world gates. Here's the thing. The Aquilans launched another attack long after that. They came out of our sun gate driving a Draco's mainline ship and attacked Earth, thinking this was Eden. This was back during the Egyptian days, and the Draco's and the Anunnaki had to go up and defend Earth. The Blue Avians, those ones that look like they got the eagle beak face, they were hired from day one by Gaia to take your uplink to your true self, which is outside the time stream, fifth level up tree of life, and depending on what you still have for classwork to learn down here, they connect it to a new fetus that matches your frequency at the DNA level so that you can learn to drive it, basically, while it's in the womb. If you learned everything you needed to learn here, you'd go home. If you don't, you just keep getting recycled. Nobody's graduating, that's why the population's going up. But the Blue Avians are the ones who helped us when we revolted back in the days of Egypt and kicked the Anunnaki off this planet. Their descendants, the first hybrid group, Anunnaki Zetas, that's your Zionists, those are the folks that are camped out in the South Pole. They adopted the Hitler group when they showed up. So... there's a lot going on.
So everybody here wonders the same why Khazarians.
Everyone wonders why the council doesn't just come down and kick them off. It's not that simple. There's more than 40 races currently dug in, long term here on Earth. This is not just a straightforward issue.
So
it's more than just the Dracos we've got to get rid of, and their six allies are all parasitic, in one form or another.
Because the Dracos are infested themselves, aren't they? They've got their own archonic infestation from this, what I call the galactic nung now.
The Dracos aren't really infested because their biology is so different. They've got another really, really bad influence. You got to understand, the Dracos are third level energy who use technology to bootstrap them to fourth level. but they have a wider range of perception of their environment. You understand?
So now, they hear higher and Saturn, see higher and
Saturn stuff. Used to be the original sun, and it was it's a lot lower frequency than the one we got. And once they got things the way they wanted it with the original sun, because for quite a while we had two suns, they shut Saturn down and kicked him to the curb. That's Satan. And he's been interfering and helping everybody just screw everything up here as much as he possibly can, because he's pissed. He's been pissed ever since he got shut down and kicked to the curb. Now, at one point back in the, you know, the Noah's flood day, because, you know, when the Anunnaki Martians broke our containment and landed on land and set up that, we were no longer in isolation. So everybody's brother showed up here. We had folks pretending to be gods and all that sort of thing, that eventually the folks who provided seed stock showed up, and said, oh no, this is gonna stop. Took all the worst of them and imprisoned them in Saturn. And then did the Noah's flood to wipe out the rest of all the hybrids they made to try and reset this classroom.
So it's really like a university that has been squatted by bikers.
Yeah. Every you don't live in a universe, you live in a university campus.
Yeah, exactly.
All the galaxies are basically university campuses. Every classroom, every world is a classroom. Now, once you get to the level 12 of the Tree of Life, eventually come like Eve, and they give you a world, and your classwork is to create new sentient, intelligent beings that don't already exist out there, who can eventually, on their own, ascend. That means when you ascend, you go from a physical being to energy only. Now, the original classroom, you were supposed to have 90% Homo sapiens sapiens. Those are not avatar-driven folks. And only 10% were supposed to be avatars. Now we've only got 8% who are not avatars. Everybody else is an avatar, which is a child who is born to parents at the fifth level or higher. And if you're born up there, everybody, without exception, has to come down to this level and have a classroom, and learn about this level of creation. Otherwise, when you get to level 10 through 12, you're not even going to know where to start. So, Eve is a registered student in the Milky Way. Gaia is not, because she didn't even tell them that she brought Gaia with her. That's why Gaia ran 15 other classes, raised intelligent sentient beings for other student teachers out there in the galaxy here on Earth, improved her classroom first. Those are 12 of those 15 are the ones who provided her seed stock to make her own race, which is Homo sapiens sapiens. And she built the prototypes on her mother's world, Eden.
Okay, so Eden is here, but it's in a slightly shifted phase dimension, yeah?
Yeah, locked down.
Locked out, right. So, safe.
Elvin's race created the Pixie Fae as a gift back to Mother Eve. Only somebody level 15 up the Tree of Life from outside the Milky Way interfered with their creation, because the Pixie Fae have more power than Eve does. And when that war happened, even the level 14 folks who tried to wipe the Pixie Fae out and shut that war down couldn't do it.
So they put Eve and the
Pixie Fae in quarantine.
And then what happened?
The Elven, the Pixie Fae, the dragons. There was a lot of animal, intelligent, upper level, older races that were supposed to be our oversight. That was part of the Draco's plan, to get our oversight removed so they could play with us, without anybody coming in and saying, no, you can't do that. Now, because Guy is not a registered student, one of the things that Eve learned from her last classroom, if you go into your classroom, if the teacher goes into the world itself, the folks who run the galaxy cannot wipe the planet as long as the student is in it, because then it'll kill the student, and that's not legal. I use the term legal, but that's because that's the only term we really got that applies, even though I hate that language.
Yeah, I get you.
because it'll kill the student. So that's the trick that Eve learned and taught Gaia. So that's why Gaia can't just come out and fix this. She's doing what she can to reset everybody, but they're doing everything they can to block her.
All right, so hang on a second. There's a whole different complexion here.
Mm-hmm.
And hang on. Eve is Gaia's mother. Eve is a registered student.
Gaia's one of Eve's students from the first world that Eve had, which wasn't even in the Milky Way. And Gaia built us like she is herself, because Eve's first classroom where Gaia and all those type kids, saltwater, high energy biology, and the reason that Eve's first classroom got wiped is because Gaia stepped from level 6, energy, outside the time stream into Eve's dorm at level 10. We, as humans, have the ability, if we have a third spiral and we send the energy directly down the core of our triple spiral DNA in the right conformation, to step from space-time to time-space, where time is a fixed item, and do teleportation, and, you know, all that kind of stuff is native in our design, our original design. Gaia built us like she is.
That's pretty...
Coding is a commodity, a major commodity in the Milky Way.
But has anybody managed to reproduce it?
Yes, that's what I mean. They're you know, they're selling the best, you know, coding bits of human DNA to other races out there in the galaxy. This is some of the stuff that the New World Order folks and the Secret Space Program are doing. On Mars, they're not just building, you know, components and everything for other races' spacecraft. They're selling DNA in exchange for technology, and, you know, there's a lot more to all the crap that's going on.
Yeah, this is some of the really dirty black secret of NASA, isn't it?
It's a black market.
Literally. Yeah. A few years ago, you know, I first heard about this, and the people who were listening to me, I was talking with Andrew Bartzis about this, and he was talking about the intergalactic mafia and how they're selling human DNA by wrapping it in gold so it can get through a special kind of portal. And, it went in the maybe box, right? I have a yes, no, maybe box. So lo and behold, a couple of years later, I see a news article about babies, aborted fetuses that were gold leaf coated. And it was in the news, and you can check it out, gold leaf coated babies. He was spot on, because it was said, you know, it was for satanic purposes. But no, that's exactly what you're talking about.
There are some issues with using gold. It's like to create a conduit all the way down both strands of your DNA, or all three strands of your DNA if you're triple, because the energy that's sent from your mind, your consciousness, is like radio waves. And as you broadcast down through your body, where those waves intersect the poles of your DNA, those are the strands of coding that get turned on. Now, if you take gold in just the right amount, you're basically creating a electrical conduit up both spirals. So it doesn't matter where the wave hits, it turns them all on. But if you have too much of it, you can actually insulate your DNA so it doesn't receive any signals at all. So that's a real risky stuff to be doing. But yeah, they do that kind of stuff too. I recommend sal almanac. It's what they call Gon salt. It's the original ingredient for the prototype dry cell batteries. It's the original ingredient prior to the Anunnaki and all them showing up to make unleavened bread. And it's where Amun-Ra got his name. He used to give this stuff out to his
best folks. Oh, this is intel. Okay, let's talk about this, please. Amun-Ra, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Was he a rival of any... So there... Are you talking that there are two...
The pharaohs were all created by the Anunnaki.
Okay, tell us now, about the pharaohs. I'm interested in Amenhotep, actually.
Yeah, this they got screwed. The Anunnaki got screwed. Because the tutor group, which is Queen Elizabeth Line, if you go all the way back to the contract or treaty that was signed by with the clan mother back in 640 BC to let them do their own thing for a while, but they weren't supposed to screw with anybody else or the tribes or the clans or anything, which they violated every tenet of that treaty, and then some. Now, in concert with or in league with the Dracos, they brought some elven folk through one of the gates. And the purpose of this was to make a hybrid human elven. That's what went down in Ireland. Morgan Le Fay was the first hybrid. And when she finally signed that contract in 1617 that made all females property and all that, Morgan Le Fay was 600 years old. So one of the purposes that the Anunnaki wanted the elven DNA was to give their pharaohs, you know, bump their age back up, you know, because prior to removing our third spiral, we used to live between 750 and 1200 years. And after ripping out our third spiral, it dropped to 75 to 120 years. That was part of the result of that. So the Anunnaki wanted their pharaohs to live a long time. So they made a deal with the Queen of England at that time, who wasn't England, but you know what I'm saying, that lineage, for some elven DNA. And the queen at that time sold them elven DNA that had been hit with a mutagenic. That's why all your pharaohs are genetically a mess. They did not get the long lifetime, and worse, they got all kinds of genetic defects. Beyond that, they had brother and sister as husband and wife, and they kept reinforcing it. They did try pulling someone from Africa to bring that into the bloodline once, and then the final tribe was pulling one of the Native Americans from the American continent and bringing that over and trying putting that in to fix. But I mean, their genetics were so messed up doing that sort of thing, beating a dead horse.
So, oh wow, you're such a
because all the pharaohs, I've got the genetic readouts on all of them. So, they are a mess.
So they were married. They brother were all married to the brother and sister.
Yeah. That's
and
yeah.
What would you know when you say married to brother and sister? Did they all have like two children? Did you know how did they always have a mother? A boy and a girl.
The last two when the last pharaoh died, they claim we can't even isolate who the other parent is on the last two children because they died as children. So we don't even, there wasn't enough data in those last two children to even figure out where the other, the third trigenics came from in that one.
Were they grown?
No, they were, you know, less than 2 years old. Wow. When they died.
Okay.
And I guess, I mean, there's another corpse missing in the last two kids. But that's what they were doing. One boy child, one girl child, and they, you know, married them together, and those became the pharaohs. That was the way they were doing things. So they were getting reinforced defectives.
And
now, the interesting thing is, Queen Elizabeth, the whole Tudor line, picked up that same game plan. That's why, you know, the whole British royalty is all genetically screwed up as well, because they did the same trick. They waited till Jesus was born and had his kids, and then stole the kids. The rose symbolizes that lineage, but they're all inbred like crazy too. They don't want to let the extra abilities out to the general public.
Blood magic,
and that's the red rose as opposed to our white.
Now, if you look at heraldic crests, there's a specific background, and if you've got that as your background, then you have Fey genetics in you. The reason the Dracos wanted the Fey bloodlines brought in, because they were raised on Eden, with Saturn as the sun. Their DNA is a lower frequency, and it's a better match for the Dracos.
Dracos to
do a hybrid program.
I see. So we have to elevate the elf, don't we? Take it out of the reach of the of the Draco?
We were supposed to ascend to the next energy level, right. Level 5. That's a higher frequency, a higher density. Now, when you go to from level 4 to level 5 and graduate, you don't ascend back to your thing unless you learn everything you're down here to learn. When you graduate at this level, it's going to that energy level and that density clears up all the problems with you having radiation issues and everything and traveling in space. So this graduation was supposed to be off the planetary surface. Are we still connected?
Absolutely, yes. Oh, keep okay. going. It's, off the planetary surface.
Because that transition cures you of all the problems with, humans currently at level four or energy density. When you go out in space, your bones start to decay and everything. We are really still tied heavily to Gaia. In fact, when they first built the original domes under the surface, they built them so insulated so well that they were insulated from Gaia, and a human would only survive about 6 months down in the dome, isolated from Gaia. That's why they had to revamp all the domes and bring in plants and trees and, you know, the whole nine yards down in there and basically bring Gaia inside the dome. Because people would die. They would go psychotic and their body, all their systems would shut down after 6 months.
So that's an interesting way of infiltrating the place. So, well done, Gaia. Is that what you're talking about, the human wave as well?
If we move to the fifth energy and density, we fall out of the range of Draco's even being able to perceive us. We move out of their range of perception because their third level energy and density, they're using technology to bootstrap themselves to four. And we're already three quarters away up to five. So that's why some of these Dracos, they'll phase in to, and you can see them and for short periods of time and whatnot, and then they sort of disappear. It's because they actually have to expend energy at this point, a lot of them, to even fall into the range where we can see them or put enough energy into where we can see them. They're not teleporters or anything like that. That's just pushing themselves higher energetically, so that we can see them. Because they're only about three quarters of the way into the fourth energy level density. There's some really throwback ones, though, that the Dracos are a major caste system. It's like nine levels or something like that, seven to or nine. I forget what it is.
Yeah, they're the hierarchy boys, aren't they? They're really into it.
Now, here's the interesting thing. The reason why the low-level ones, we can see them all the time, is because there's a whole nother race. I call them the Sea Stacks because I can never remember their original name, but they were raised here on Earth with the dinosaurs. They were made by Gaia. They are not RH positive. They are RH null, but they interbred with the Dracos. Now, this is where the cocky, mamey crap with the Dracos say they have just as much rights to this world as we do. That's garbage. They think because they interbred with the Sea Stack, who grew up here with the dinosaurs, that this is their planet too, and then it's not. When this world was brought here through the Sun Gate, the Dracos were squatters on it. But understand, the level 14 folks gave this to Eve, and Eve gave this to Gaia. This is Gaia's world, not theirs. Gaia is the final word. Period. Now, because the Dracos got all our oversight taken out, Gaia made the tribes, the aboriginal tribes, as to be the groundskeepers of Earth, the keeper of the peace, and the keeper of treaties. They came out first. There's two major plateaus on every major landmass that ever existed on Earth. They scribe out a 120-degree arc, one's north-south facing, the other one's east-west facing. There's one on every continent, and that's where the original tribes were set down. There was 12 tribes set on every continent to be the groundskeepers. That's your clans. The 13th tribe was the one, the clan mother of the 13th tribe dealt directly with the other 12 clan mothers who ran all the, you know, the other 12 tribes. That is how things were set up from day one by Gaia, period. And once you proofed your classroom and raised those other 15 races, the last race that graduated at level 5 energy off of Earth for those other races out there, she did it as a favor to build a screen, basically, for herself, because she's not a registered student. So now she's got other groups out there who will fight for her. 15 of them. 15 other civilizations who will fight to defend her and her kids.
So that's you're saying that, like, she's
that's a council.
She's like a independent university.
No, she's running the. She found an empty classroom, mm-hmm. basically, got somebody to nominally take control over it, give it to her, mm-hmm. Without asking the admin of the campus.
Uh huh.
So she raised 15 other races as an
like
exchange.
Temper. Yeah. Okay.
Of favors for uh-huh. other races out there. She raised their kids here.
Uh huh.
I'm told 15. I can document 5 of them, the last 5. And like 10,000 of the last 5 that graduated off of this Earth before she brought her own prototypes through from Eden, they're still camped out here. They're the ones that the Buddhist monks communicate with. They stay behind with Gaia's permission. They're the ones the Buddhist monks commune with, and that's they have they're in charge of Shangri-La.
I was just going to say, is that Shambhala?
Yeah, Shambhala
and
Shangri-La.
And are these beings serpent beings called the Naga?
I'm not sure what their name is.
Are they dragons?
No. Well, dragons were another race entirely and exist. They were like most of us now, avatars, but they, instead of just existing here and in their true self up on the 5th level up the Tree of Life, which is just as energy being kids, they exist in 12 levels simultaneously. They were supposed to be sort of like, guides. That's why the Dracos convinced humans and Elven that were here, that had come through the gate, to kill all the dragons. That's more oversight being removed. And dragons are very, very real. They actually found a whole group of them up in the Carpathian Mountains and all that. We figured out how they fly and everything. I've got all the documentation, all the pixie fays, and the Dracos created the Tooth Fairy, which sounds, you know, nice and everything, that, you know, they give money for kids' teeth and everything. That's garbage. The Tooth Fairy had the equivalent of biogenetic black goo in them. They attached themselves to regular pixie fays, the tendrils of the goo went into them and basically dissolved their bodies. They used that, the original pixie fay scent and everything to invade their nests and infest all the other fay with their children who eat them way out. Now, the whole thing with this is the reason why they got named with the Tooth Fairy is because the bones of the jaw and everything of the original fay, because the way these things sort of like grew around them and digested them, is the bones of the original fae were like permanently lodged in their flesh. That's your Tooth Fairy. They were a product, a mimic product of the real pixie fae, designed and built by a combined effort of the Dracos and the Archons. They were black goo purveyors.
Yuck.
To destroy the fae.
See, I've got a bad tooth, but the bad tooth is gold. I got a great big gold tooth in my head. It's just getting looser and looser.
The other interesting fact about
they can't have it.
The fairies, there's two different kind of fairies. There's the little pixie fairies, and then there's the real fairies. During the mutagenic war, the real fairies that got hit with the mutagenic became some really bad news, and not that Eve wanted them on Eden anyway, but a lot of them escaped through the gates and came here. and they were nasty customers. They know they were an older race, they were created long before we were, but this isn't their world. And they were the ones that the 12 races that provided seed stock gave humans specific technological or i.e. magic tools and created the Templars originally to fight the Fae, the big Fae that got hit with mutagenics, and that is your gen. Those magical tools and everything from those that original group is part and parcel of what all this, you know, ripping up of ground and looking for ancient artifacts and everything. These are ancient ET high-end tech that was, some of it was gifted to humans to fight the jinn. That is the origin of the Christian religion. That's what the Tudor group scoffed up all that, modified it for their own purposes, but that is actually the original source.
Wow. So that's a fantastic discourse, Patty. And I'd love to have you on again. We can do some further connection. Are you talking directly from the Akashic Records there?
I'm a former graduate here. I came down here with all this knowledge. I talk directly with Gaia.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I've got history before they even came here.
I get you. But Karen is saying, can we please address the CERN issues? Can we wrap up the show? We've got about 6 minutes left, 5 minutes left. Can we, the three of you, bring it together amongst yourselves? I know you're all going to dive off to Vin Eastwood in a very short moment. So let's create this enormous Z pinch of counter rotation and go into the wormhole that is truth. And
The fast and hard of it, when the Dracos, when it started failing and the Dracos remotely controlled it, they ran it into the ground. Now, they didn't just damage the little one, the original one. They have another one right beside it, the big one that they spent the 20 years building. But they so destroyed the little one that it actually did some damage to the new big one. So they're scrambling right now to fix that. And even Brookhaven in New York is modifying all their spare parts to work on the big CERN and shipping them. Now, we've documented all the damage that's on every part of CERN. Alice got all her relays, all her power connections on one side of it fused, because when the first beam went through and fried all the grounds, you had 10,000 kilovolts going through Alice, and then you had 30,000 come back from the frame of the whole loop. When it blew all its ground straps, hit the frame, and fused all the relays shut. So you could only halfway shut off Alice, but the beam actually went through and beat the crap out of the Alice.
And you're saying that you're also reporting that there are casualties, aren't there?
I don't know if you know about the their stadium they've got out there. They've got a big parking lot just to the south of it, big parking garage, but there's no parking up on the roof. It's not that kind of the parking garage is fully inside with a real roof over it. What they did was they set up temporary Quonset looking structures all on the roof. That's the morgue.
So there's a morgue.
This ties into something.
And there's a field set up in the very center. If you go to the center of the exact circle where their array is that points at the sky, and they have two harp arrays on either side of that exact center, and that's pretty much near where the control room is, there's another encampment there, which is NATO forces and CDC type setup. Because it's an out of the way place, out of the public eye. But that's where their major field hospital is set up. And there's all kinds of scrap being brought out of the ground, burnt copper, at all the damaged sites. And I've got pictures of all the stuff that they've dragged out, busted holes through the ground. Entire buildings have collapsed. The hospital, it had two wings. The back wing, they're rebuilding the whole thing from the third floor up, got destroyed.
Right.
And the front one, the main part of the hospital, the whole atrium where we saw plasma come flashing up out of it, the whole atrium stack all the way up past the roof and four or five floors down is gone.
That's us. Patty, Karen, Daniel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amazing show. Thank you for all your info. We're here in the front line of the inner dimension of the eternal conflict. Bless you all. Just be harmless. Just be harmless. Well, that's Journeys with JP. Well, let me just turn off that recorder there. There we go.